Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news. Did you see Elon Musk tweeted something that was considered misinformation? Jimmy Fallon was on the case. Musk later deleted it because it was a false conspiracy theory. Fallon said, "That's awkward when you're the owner of Twitter." Here was the email that Musk received. It said, "Dear me, I regret to inform me that my tweet violated my terms of service, so I'll have to ask me to delete my tweet as soon as me can. If I do not delete my tweet, I'll be forced to do it for me. If I, you, me have any questions, you, me should contact us at our us's earliest convenience. Yours truly, you." James Corden pointed out that Elon fired the entire board, and now he's floating the idea that verified users may have to pay $20 a month to retain their blue check marks. Not his worst idea. His worst idea would be buying Twitter. Did James Corden steal a joke from Ricky Gervais? I'm going to go first. Yeah. I'll play the clip in a second. On the Late Late Show the other night, Corden was talking about Elon Musk, and he used an analogy of someone advertising guitar lessons in a town square that sounded familiar. User Paul Anthony tweeted the following. Let's listen.
Because if someone puts up a poster in a town square that says guitar lessons available,
that's like going into a town square, seeing a big notice board, and there's a notice, guitar lessons.
Like, you don't get people in the town go, "I don't want to play the guitar!"
And you go, "But I don't fucking want guitar lessons."
Well, then that sign wasn't for you. It was for somebody else. You don't have to get mad about all of it.
Fine, it's not for you then. Just walk away. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, somewhat similar, I would think. People on Twitter noticed, including one user named Ricky Gervais. He retweeted the clip and said, "That bit about the town square advert for guitar lessons is brilliant." One user said, "It's the delivery. He even scrunches his face like Gervais. Really sad to realize he's practiced that in the mirror." Another said, "What is Corden playing at? I used to like him in Gavin and Stacey, but he's becoming a total liability these days." One person was more sarcastic and said, "Not even similar. Corden is sitting down and Gervais is standing up. How much more different does it need to be for everyone to realize James came up with it himself?" Now, Gervais eventually took down his tweet and commented that he doubts that James Corden went out of his way to steal the bit, but the writers probably wrote the bit and maybe Corden wasn't familiar with Gervais's bit. Who knows? WVCN caught up with Dennis Leary. He's hosting the 26th annual Comics Come Home event. That event is November 12th, and it benefits the Cam Neely Foundation, an organization founded by the Bruins legend to help support cancer patients and their families. Leary is still amazed every year as he prepares for the event. He was looking over the arena and said, "It's empty, but I look at the Jumbotron, I look up at the banners, and I'm like, how the hell did I get here? Not only am I on stage at the Garden about to host, you know, a giant comedy show, but one of my best friends is Cam Neely." Stick with Boston. A documentary on Dean Cook is in development. There's like a Dean Cook-essence happening these days. Dean is working with Canadian broadcaster Super Channel to produce a documentary called Brace for Impact, The Dean Cook Story. Brace for Impact, The Dean Cook Story will cover Dean Cook's rise to stardom with a buzzy stage presence as he was wrangling this emerging newfangled thing called social media, essentially creating the basic blueprint for how a comedian can build an audience and pretty much everyone has used since. Man, back in the day, and I was around and involved in comedy back in the day, people could not stand Dean Cook because he figured out MySpace and the other comics didn't, and they were so mad at this Dean Cook guy for selling out huge arenas because he figured out how to market. More from the doc. While the early aughts were a fantastic time for Dean Cook, they also gave him some crushing personal blows, losing both of his parents to cancer just as he was on the rise. And of course, the insane story about how he was betrayed by his business manager slash brother, who was caught embezzling millions of dollars from Dean Cook. Dean promises we will dig into the treasure trove that is my past. It's been cathartic, magic, and wild. With this doc, people will be invited into the complex journey of my personal life and career as a professional entertainer. We're capturing a wildly entertaining doc that lands itself in both the comedy and true crime genres. What we're presenting is savagely funny and hilariously heartbreaking. The documentary is anticipated to air in late 2024. Another Dean Cook news, Dean Cook, 50 years old, recently got engaged to 23-year-old Kelsey. Congratulations to Dean and Kelsey. Today's Daily Comedy News is brought to you by ExpressVPN. I am digging the ExpressVPN. As I was driving around this morning on my way back from the National Donuts chain, I was thinking about ExpressVPN. I was like, oh yeah, the World Cup of Soccer is coming up. And, you know, the local coverage is nice, but sometimes you might want to check out some international coverage and you can't hop on over to another country all that quickly. Well, with ExpressVPN, you might be able to convince some streaming thing that, like, yes, I'm totally here in Paris. What are you talking about? You know, whenever you're connected to an unencrypted internet network on your phone, computer, tablet, TV, etc., you're sending countless pieces of information out into the digital world that could be seen and intercepted by many different parties before they get to their intended destinations. That's you right now, probably. What are you doing? Fire up the app. You connect with just one click. I'm on it right now. Am I doing the show from New Jersey or am I doing the show from Madrid? The internet doesn't know, do they? ExpressVPN. Go to expressvpn.com/DCN. Get an additional 3 months of ExpressVPN for free through the special offer. Link in the show notes, or just, you can remember this, expressvpn.com/DCN. Not hard to remember. Do it. Big fan. Why aren't you? I've been doing much better catching up on the comedy specials. I'm going to tell you about another one today, but plus I've watched two more that I'll tell you about during the week. All right, today we're going to talk about Gabriel Iglesias' special, this one called Stadium Fluffy. I had the opportunity to work with Gabe when we launched Comedy Central Radio. Johnny Mac, are you preambling? Like, are you, like, saying nice things about Gabe before you bash the special? Maybe, maybe. Why do you think I'm doing that? Maybe I'm about to tell you the special's awesome. No? Yeah, I could. Gabriel Iglesias, Stadium Fluffy. So here's the first thing that I noticed when I hit play. An hour 55? What? An hour 55? Gabe, what are you doing? I don't have an hour 55. So I'm like, all right, let me see how far I got. The answer, 20 minutes. Is the special bad? Not at all. It's all right. I was entertained. Gabe is very likable. I never really realized how good of a voice artist he is. He can do various accents very well. I was enjoying it, but, like, I think the problem was the hour 55, because I was 20 minutes in, and if I had, say, 35 minutes more to go, I would have been like, all right, this is cool. But another hour 35 of this? I got stuff to watch. So I finished, what's it called? Rings of Power. Now, did you hear me go, there in that Letterman way? Rings of Power is going to think that I said its name wrong. So he'd be like, oh, I was so offended he called my show Rings of Power. If you don't know what I'm talking about, listen to yesterday's episode. This Maya Rudolph thing, the more I think about it, it's driving me nuts. I was texting back and forth with my friend Mike, and I pointed out, any Letterman impression starts with Here, I'm looking at a bottle of water on my desk. The bottle of water on my desk, that's how Letterman says everything. He says, He didn't call you a Maya Rudolph. He said, my next guest, Maya Rudolph. That's how Letterman speaks. I digress. Go back and listen to yesterday's show if you have no idea what I'm talking about. All right, Gabriel Iglesias, Stadium Fluffy. It's all right. It's all right. It's not going to do very high on my end of the year list. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying it sucks. It's fine. My biggest issue, it's an hour 55. Now, I mention pretty frequently, I'm the writer on a podcast called Palace Intrigue. We talk about the royal family, and by the royal family, I mean Meghan Markle. So here's an article that makes both shows, and this was good for me. I was writing this for Palace Intrigue, and then cut and paste, I'll put it here, from the AV Club, the headline, Hey Meghan Markle, Howie Mandel also felt like a bimbo on Deal or No Deal. I don't know if you saw the story. You can listen to Palace Intrigue. We've well covered it. Short version, Meghan said she felt like a bimbo when she was a suitcase girl on Deal or No Deal. I don't know what she thought a suitcase girl does on Deal or No Deal. She made some kind of comment like nobody asked her about her opinions on foreign policy or something. It made no sense to me. But Howie Mandel says he also felt like a bimbo. Howie said, I get it. I've never said this before, but they had this pyramid of 26 beautiful, intelligent women standing there just staring at me like I was a piece of meat. I was in the center just dressed up in a suit, and I felt like I'm more than this. They would just look at me and I had to do nothing. I never really heard anybody complain. I don't think Meghan's complaining. I think Meghan said she just wanted to do more. It wasn't fulfilling for her. Howie added that Deal or No Deal was a great workplace environment. And by the way, many of the girls were mic'd and they had their input. This next segment I'm going to call Cool News from 1990. They're making an animated version of Bloom County. Yes, that would be great in 1990. Check your calendar. Dude, why are we doing this now? You youngins are like, what the hell's Bloom County? Kids, back in the day, we used to have something called newspapers. So what a newspaper was, is if you took, say, all the tweets of the day and you printed them out and then you put them together in some sort of collated package and then you put the collated packages on trucks and then drove them to stores called stationery stores. If you're from Queens or bodegas or newsstands, whatever you want to call them. Anyway, you would actually go to a store and you would pick up a newspaper and you wouldn't even talk to the guy. You just throw like a quarter on the counter and walk out with your newspaper. That's what a newspaper was. In the newspaper was a comic strip called Bloom County, and it was awesome, but it was also 1989 when it ended. Anyway, It's coming out as an animated series. Who is this for? Me? I don't know who this is for. No word on a date, no word on where this will air, but they're making it. Australia's making its own version of British ITV's The 1% Club. Jim Jefferies will host this thing. How this works is there's 100 people, and they get asked increasingly difficult logic problems, and I guess it gets whittled down to one winner. In the UK, it's hosted by Lee Mack and was doing 4.36 million viewers. That's pretty good. There's versions in France, Israel, and the Netherlands. Other versions coming to Germany and Spain. I guess we're going to need an American version. Howie Mandel seems to be free. Maybe Meghan Markle could host it. Top prize, $100,000. It's about $55,000 US, depending on where you exchange your currency. Anyway, Jim Jefferies is your host. CBS is developing a show called She Gets It From Me. This is a semi-autobiographical single-camera comedy from Emmy winner Dan Bukatinski. He's from Scandal. It was inspired by his journey as an adoptive parent. He's joined on the project by Cristela Alonso, who will star and co-write and executive produce. And from news.artnet.com, say it with me, you're home for comedy news. Critics pan British comedian Jimmy Carr's TV show Where Art Is Destroyed live on air. Told you about this last week. Well, they actually did it. Jimmy Carr Destroys Art aired on Channel 4 in the UK. Critics panned it. To catch you up, the premise saw Jimmy Carr put problematic artists on trial to test if they could be separated from their art after each debate. The live studio audience were invited to vote on which artworks to destroy. The artists featured in the program ranged from Hitler, yes, that Hitler, to Picasso. Flamethrowers, shredders, and paintball pellets were among the types of ammunition used to destroy the artwork. Channel 4 had acquired all the artwork for the show, including an 11,500-pound watercolor by Hitler himself. Lewis Chilted, writing for The Independent, concluded that selecting Jimmy Carr to serve as arbiter come executioner is like letting Boris Johnson chair a seminar on the value of honesty. Some British commentary there for you. And that's your comedy news for today. Follow the show for free on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Audio-only version on YouTube. I always tell you if I'm dressed or not. Yep, today I've got an adult's, what are these called? This like quarter pullover hoodie thing. Some jeans, actually comb my hair. But there's no video version. You're only going to get audio on YouTube. So who cares what I'm wearing? Maybe I'm not even wearing that. Maybe I'm lying. See you tomorrow.